This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Finding Your Bliss with host Judy Liebrack, heard every Saturday at 1 p.m. on Zoomer Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Finding Your Bliss, the show that helps you find and follow your bliss. I'm Judy Liebrack, and today I'm joined by an incredible mother-daughter duo and the stars of the Smile Theater production, Extraordinary. First, the legendary actress Charlotte Moore and her daughter, actress Emily Mazurkiewicz. So, first of all, Charlotte, welcome back. It's so nice to see you again.
Nice to see you too.
As many of you know, Charlotte Moore has been a guest before on this program. And for those of you who remember, we did a wonderful one-on-one exclusive interview all about her life and career and her legendary role as part of the very famous Moore family. Her late grandmother, of course, was Dora Baver Moore, who contributed significantly to the beginnings of Canadian theater. So it's very exciting to have yet another generation of this esteemed family on the program today. Also later on in the show, we will meet a Canadian legend in the field of musical theater, playwright, composer, lyricist, director, and producer, Jim Betts, who is the creator, writer, composer, and director, as it were, of Extraordinary, the extraordinary life of an ordinary woman. But first, let me tell you a little bit more about each of these wonderful actresses, Charlotte Moore and Emily Mazurkiewicz. So, as many of you know, Charlotte Moore has been a staple in Canadian musical theater for over 40 years, including many seasons with the Shaw Festival, the Charlottetown Festival, Drayton Entertainment, and Mirvish. She won a Dora Maver Moore Award in 1990 for the Rocky Horror Picture Show and was nominated again exactly 30 years later for Sunday in the Park with George. Gosh, did I love that production. She has three solo albums to her credit, Friends of Mine, Songs from Canadian Musicals, 2004, Long Road Back, 2017, which features all original material, and Some Comfort Here, 2021, with Mark Camilleri, another very talented person. Hailing from Toronto, Emily Mazurkiewicz is a multidisciplinary artist and Sheridan College graduate. Previous credits include for the Grove Theatre, Cinderella. Love that. In Into the Woods, lead vocalist in ABBA, Elton John, and Carole King tributes for Victoria Playhouse in Petrolia, Jonas and Barry in The Home, Oil Rush, and Starbright. As well, she was in the runaway hit of the 2023 Toronto Fringe, Dancer, and more. Oh, so thrilling about that. Charlotte and Emily star in Extraordinary, the extraordinary life of an ordinary woman. It's a charming musical about a woman celebrating her 90th birthday. And what's unusual about this celebration is that she has invited her 18-year-old self to join the party, wishing to be reminded of the hopes and dreams she had as a young woman. She set out to become extraordinary and learns how that happened in ways she never anticipated. This wonderful personal musical was created by the playwright Jim Betts for his mom when she turned 90 and is based on her life story. Charlotte and Emily, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. It's so great to have you both here.
Great to
be
here.
Thank you so much.
Charlotte, as I said in the intro, for those of you just tuning in now, it's great to see you again. And I'm so glad to talk to you about this wonderful production that you've been involved in with your daughter, Emily. Now, mm-hmm. I know that you both worked together in 2009, if I'm not mistaken, in Anne of Green Gables at the Charlottetown Festival. But this sounds like a much more collaborative and immersive, more adult experience, certainly for Emily. Can you tell us first a little bit more about Jim Betts' piece, Extraordinary, and how you all got involved?
Well, Jim, as you said, wrote this for his mom's 90th birthday. And it's fascinating how the people in the places, the venues that we go to, how they glom onto the truth of it. Because it's a true story, and we go to all these, like she was the first person to run the Mississauga Meals on Wheels. So we have this whole big crazy number we do about Meals on Wheels. And it's just the extraordinary things that happened to her. The audience is really enjoy the truth of it, you know, because it's, and Jim's music is always very personal, but this is so personal because it's about his mom, you know.
Yes. And on top of that, I think it was 2 days ago, I had two women come up to me after the show and go, "We were actually part of the Mississauga Meals on Wheels." Like, we worked for them. Yeah. So it's such a personal story, and because it's local, you know, we do have the amazing chance to have people come up who did work for Meals on Wheels, which is incredible.
Isn't that incredible? That's awesome. And I love, Charlotte, how you described that your actual daughter, who's sitting here right beside you, Emily Mazurkiewicz, plays your 18-year-old self. Can you say more about that?
It's quite something. Well, I mean, that's why we both took the job, so that we can work together. And Jim's really great about making it personal for us too. I mean, part of the set is a lot of pictures of his mom, Bertha, who is based on, and her life. But the also part of the set are pictures of Emily and I, and pictures of us together when she's a baby, and a studio shot of my mom when she was 18. And so that's in the set. So he's made it very personal for us too, which we've really enjoyed a lot. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, Emily, I of course know you from Sheridan's musical theater program, and there's so many interesting connections here because, of course, Jim Betts was one of the founders of the Sheridan Musical Theater program, and so I love that. And I know you know our daughter Lily Liebrack, who's actually now based in New York City, and she says hello. I have to be honest, I was practically drooling when I heard that you were working together as mother and daughter. And I'm not a musical theater actor, I'm a journalist and a host. But I just thought, my goodness, how I get the chills when I think about how glorious it must be to work with your mom. Can you describe what it's been like for you?
Yeah, I think that I've always kind of watched my mother from an outside perspective because I grew up with, I mean, both my parents in the industry and learning the ins and outs of it and what it means to be an artist in this capacity. But it was always kind of from the outside. And so now, like, as I get older and do more shows and having the chance to work with her, it's really interesting and such a unique and privileged position that I'm in that I get to see now the inner workings of what she does. And that's, it's a very, very cool experience and a very lucky experience. So many people will never get a chance like that in their life. And so, yeah, it's just, it's really wonderful.
And on the 25th, October 25th, because this is going to air before then, you have your final performance in a nursing home. How does that feel for you? Is it sort of sad that it's coming to an end? And is there going to be new life?
Well, we are doing a public performance of it. And so real people, I guess, are, you know, like friends of ours and family of ours can come and see it. So we'll have that treat. But it really has been a treat to get to do this together. And we work remarkably well together.
Wow. That's so awesome.
Yeah. And like, I will also say that, like, for me, it's just going to be a whirlwind because I'm literally the day after we finish, I'm starting rehearsals for We Will Rock You at Mervish.
Yeah. Congratulations.
So it's like, I won't even have time to like, oh, thank you. I won't even have time to kind of the typical like post-show blues of like, that was really great and I miss it. Yeah. So I'll just kind of be running to the next thing. But I think overall, it's gone by really fast. Yes. You know, the saying time flies when you're having fun and it's doing just that.
Because we were working together, I got to be in the room when Emily found out about the Mervish show. And that was that was a privilege, too, to get to be in the room when she got better.
That's I can't wait to see you in that. That's amazing. And and I'm going to say something. You know, it's funny. We all talk about the post-show blues, but we don't always talk about the post-show bliss. And it's funny. I've had this conversation with Cynthia Dale on the program and many others about how important it is. I think Sonia Smits and I talked about this, too. To just enjoy that moment and to take a little moment in time, if you can, before the next gig, the next audition, go, to really savor what this has been, right? Mm-hmm. Have there been any highlights, not only as mother-daughter, but just in the room, in the various retirement homes, nursing homes and hospitals for both of you? This is for anyone where you just went, epiphany, there it is. Mm.
There have been a lot of instances of this is why we do it when people are moved or they're, you know, like Emily said, we were did the Mississauga Meals on Wheels. When people are, they really appreciate it. They really appreciate it. They appreciate us coming in, and they appreciate us doing a good job and a really moving show. And there's funny stuff too, of course, but there's lots to recommend it. And people in nursing homes deserve good theater too.
Of course.
So we're just doing the best job we can for them. And when they are able to articulate that to us, it's really something, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And to be honest, like, I think that so many, and we've talked a lot about this in rehearsal as well, but so many people, especially towards the end of their life, just decide to be unhappy.
Yeah.
They just decide that, you know what, I'm just depressed all the time. And I think that one of the things that gives me the most aha moments and brings me the most joy is always say, you are my sunshine. And typically next to known things, as you know, they're coming in and they're in their moods and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then the show happens. It's like life comes back on in their face. It's like they've found a little sliver of joy. And then every time we play You Are My Sunshine after the show, and they always sing.
Yeah.
Every single, regardless of how verbal they are, a lot of the time they'll just, you know, sing Oz along with it. But you can tell that they are more joyful walking out of that room than they were walking in or wheeling in or however they're getting into the space.
Isn't that what it's all about? Like, isn't that just, that's everything, right? Like, what more, you know, you're working together, mother and daughter, on a beautiful piece of theater, and you're getting this kind of reaction. And you're right, people in nursing homes, they were the members of Mirvish and of all the different theater companies. They were the audience, and now they still want to enjoy, and you're making it possible, which is, and Smile Theater is making it possible, which is great.
Yeah.
Can you take us through a typical day of a production, just because it's not in a theater? It's not, hi, go to your, you know, go to the green room and go to your dressing room and, you know, go have some snacks on the craft table. You're in all these different environments. You have to sort of pull it together.
We have a van with our set and our sound system that we wheel with the stage manager who drives the van, Sam Rosenthal. And we had Jenna Sue, who was wonderful. And now we have Sam back.
Wow.
And he drives the van, which is put together like a Jenga game with all the sets and the stools and the flats that we build out of aluminum poles and these big sheets that go over it. And the sound system is, so we wheel it in and then we put everything up and then we do the show and then we take it all apart and we pack the van again. And it's,
and
some days like yesterday, we do it twice.
Wow.
You know?
Wow,
yeah.
Wow.
And it typically starts, depending on how far we have to drive, it also varies on what time our call time is. So we typically will get to the van about an hour before we have to be at the venue. Then we'll drive to the venue. We get to the venue an hour 15 before the actual show.
Nice.
So that we have the hour to set up and get ready. And then also, after the show is finished, we take 5-10 minutes and we go and we actually speak to all of the patrons who have stayed after the show.
Wow.
To talk to them about the show and how they're doing and how they're feeling and what their experience was watching the show, just to really connect with them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we tear everything down and then we'll drive back.
Wow.
After we pack the van.
Oh my gosh. And I bet you get a really, really good night's sleep after all of that. Cause it's a workout, isn't it? Just the carrying and the, of course, just being in a show itself is amazing. What's it like working with Jim Betts? What was it like being directed by him and working with him and all of that?
Well, I've known Jim for 50 years, we figured out while we were in rehearsal. Because I was a teenager when I first worked with him. And so we have a kind of a shorthand, don't we? I mean, we tease each other a lot, which Emily had to put up with in rehearsal. What about you, Em?
I've worked with Jim quite a few times at this point. I've done workshops with him. I sang for his birthday party 1 year. Dancer, that was the hit of the Toronto Fringe a couple of years ago, he wrote. And this is my second Smile production with him. And I think that what I really enjoy about working with Jim is that you never really doubt yourself as an actor or as an artist. You can do things wrong. You can get things wrong. You can mess up. He loves to tease me about pronouncing, I like to say the instead of the before a vowel. And he'll get on my case about that. But like, I think that because art is so personal and you're putting so much of yourself in it, it's very easy to feel very vulnerable. And as a director, Jim does a really, really great job of making sure you know you're doing a good job.
Nice. That is phenomenal. That's so fun. I have to say, because I've been thinking this all along, so I have to ask is, have you ever played the lead in Our Town? Emily, right? Is that her name?
Yes. No, I haven't.
You should. I'm a really good like caster. And I'm telling you, I see that one. I really, really see that one. I see that one. What do you love about this piece of theater? Like just in general, what are some of the take homes for each of you that you'll carry forth with you in your journey of living your adult life?
I think for me, and then you can obviously speak on what it's like for you, but I think as I get more and more into this career, because the first couple of years of my career were non-existent because of the pandemic.
Of course.
And I, as a kid, had such a specific idea in my head of what my life was going to look like, what I was going to do, where I was going to be, how successful I was going to be by this point in time. Yeah. And really, I think this show is like, sometimes the things that we plan don't pan out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the goals that we have aren't the goals we end up achieving, but it's okay to create new dreams along the way. And it doesn't make you less extraordinary. It just means that you were meant to be extraordinary in a different way.
Isn't that okay? I'm loving this because that's such a bliss thing for our listeners to hear. And it's so true, isn't it? You find your own way, and everybody has their own way. What a lovely sentiment for any artist out there listening, any novelist or actor or singer or just anything that you do, to know that you find your own way to be extraordinary. It doesn't have to be this cookie cutter way that you think it's supposed to look like. I love that you said that. What about for you, Charlotte?
It's very, very similar thing. I have a thing I say near the end where I say, stop thinking I've compromised. Stop thinking it's too late. Stop stopping. Start. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's about that we don't know. We can't predict what should happen or will happen, who will love, you know, all those things. And we also talk about near the end of the show that, what do I say about, there was never any choice. She says, you didn't give up. And I say, there was never any choice, or rather there were always choices, but we just made them one at a time, you know. And it's just a very positive way of looking back and forward at the same time.
Isn't that wonderful?
I love that message of it.
That's just incredible. So I want to just play, because we've talked so much about this, we want to hear some of it, one of the beautiful songs that both of you perform in Extraordinary, and it's called When I Grow Up. Can you briefly set it up for us?
Yeah, so this is essentially the last number of the show. At this point, I have realized that I am the 18-year-old version of her. Wow. And we've had this blow-up fight. I've come back, and then she's told me all about the man that we marry, whose name is Jim. And then essentially, it's kind of wrapping everything up and saying, hey, this is kind of where we've come to in our lives, but A, it doesn't mean we're done, and B, it doesn't mean we're not extraordinary and not phenomenal. And so it's really just the button on the show.
Awesome. Well, without further ado, let's have a listen to When I Grow Up from Jim Betts' musical Extraordinary. Let's roll that clip.
When I grow up, I want to be just like you. I want to have dreams, dreams that I stay true. And like you, let me grow up forever.
you invited me today.
I'm glad I did too. It's been nice to remember.
At 89, what do I see? Someone simply ordinary.
No, no one simply ordinary.
No more sitting idly, knitting in a chair. Finally, I'm a princess. Dragons best beware. No more compromises. Set our standards high. Angel blessed, earth and sky and sea. We are extraordinary.
Oh my gosh, that was gorgeous. That was breathtaking.
Thank you. That was so lovely.
So there is a question that we ask everyone at the end of the show. And of course, we're going to ask it to you. And I'm going to start with you, Emily. What is bliss for Emily?
Bliss is doing something every day that not only stimulates my mind, but my body. And I love being active. But then on top of that, sitting on the couch, reading a really good book, eating pickles and cheese.
Oh, yum. Oh, yum.
Yep.
Dill pickles or half pickles or sweet pickles?
Dill pickles. Dill. Garlic baby dill pickles.
Awesome. Awesome. And Charlotte Moore, I've asked you this question before. What is bliss for Charlotte Moore these days?
I wish I could remember what my answer was before, but my answer right now is getting to work with my kid in a show written by my friend of 50 years.
I can't even. Like, I get that so much. It's just like, wow. It's just beyond. It's really been delightful and an honor to speak to both of you today. And I want to thank you so much for joining us. What's the best way for people to contact you and connect with you on social media, Charlotte? How can people follow you and connect with you?
Well, I have a website, charlottemoore.ca, that desperately needs updating. But I'm also on Facebook and Instagram. What about you?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook and Instagram. My Instagram handle is Emily_Mabel, which is my second name.
Nice. Love that. Well, I wish you best of luck with October 25th and beyond. I want to thank you both so much for joining me. It was lovely to see you again, Charlotte. Lovely to meet you, yes. Emily, on camera. And thank you and congratulations.
And thank you, Judy. It's great to see you.
Yes. Thank you so much,
you
Judy.
You as well. We're going to go on a short commercial break. When we come back, we'll meet Jim Betts, the creator, playwright, and director of Extraordinary. More with Finding Your Bliss when we come back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740, FM 96.7. And we are now joined by the esteemed Jim Betts, the creator, writer, and director of Extraordinary. But before we meet Jim, I want to give a shout out to this segment's sponsor, the wonderful Ashford Cleaners. Thanks to Ashford Cleaners for sponsoring this segment of Finding Your Bliss. Ashford Cleaners is Toronto's best dry cleaner with hand-finished detailing, laundry, tailoring, you name it, and they'll take care of it while always going the extra mile to make sure you leave with a smile on your face. And they also offer you free pickup and delivery, so it's easy to keep your entire closet ship shape and ready to go. Thanks, Ashford. I'm here now with the creator, writer, and director of Extraordinary, Jim Betts. But before we meet him, I want to tell you a little bit more about him. Jim is an award-winning playwright and composer who loves writing and celebrating Canadian musical theater. His Canadian-themed musicals include Colors in the Storm about Tom Thompson, The Shooting of Dan McGrew, Lucy, Maud, and Anne, Extraordinary, The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Woman, The Fabulous Kelly, and the upcoming Blue Nose, written with composer John Astacio. He has also produced Stan Rogers, A Matter of Heart, and published the Canadian Musical Theatre song collections Field of Stars. He is a former artistic director of Smile Theatre, Theatre Orangeville, and Script Lab. And he started the Canadian Musical Theatre course at Sheridan College, which I know very well. It's a wonderful one. Last summer, his new musical, Dancer, a musical in 10 furlongs with book and lyrics by Jim and music by Marek Norman, an old friend, won the Adams Prize for New Musical, which earned them a spot in the 2023 Toronto Fringe Festival. The show, which was produced by Jim and his wife, Kate Barris, was a Fringe favorite, receiving 9 Broadway World Toronto Award nominations. That's so great. And it won the award for Best Choreography in a Musical or Play. Dancer, of course, is now scheduled for a return production in Toronto in 2026. Jim, welcome to Finding Your Bliss. So great to have you here.
Thank you very much for having me.
Jim, you have been writing, acting, composing, producing, and directing since 1972, and you're really a true legend in the Canadian music theater scene. And I loved reading that you actually helped found the Sheridan Musical Theater Program, along with creating many works that are rooted in Canadian culture. You have produced some of the best Canadian musical theater, and you're also known for nurturing the next generation of creators. You're also considered one of Canada's leading musical theater writers and advocates for Canadian musical theater, and you're someone who's highly regarded for being a prominent figure, not only in Canadian musical theater, but theater for young audiences, which is so important. I know that your beautiful musical, Extraordinary, The Extraordinary Life of an Ordinary Woman, has had several productions over the years. And I'm just wondering if you can tell us about your brainchild, Extraordinary, currently being toured by Smile Theatre. I know you originally wrote the show to celebrate your mother's 90th birthday. Can you say more?
Well, I came up with the idea of writing this show because I was trying to connect more with my mother as she approached 90. My father had passed away a couple of years before that, and my mom was struggling a bit to find her place in this new world she was in. So we were living quite close together, and I suggested to her that we do a project together where she started to write some stories about her life, and that I might in turn turn it into a musical. At that point, I had just started with Smile Theater, which tours theater to audiences who can no longer get to the theater, which largely are seniors, people in hospitals and long-term care centers. And since I was approaching that age myself, I was interested in trying to find a story that would resonate with the audiences. And the bonus, of course, was that I could spend more time with my own mother and learn some things. So she undertook to sit down and write some memories of her life. And then she started pulling out some photographs that I had never seen. And at that point, my mother and I had known each other for over 60 years. And so I thought this was unusual that I was learning something I never knew. And the, I guess, most significant thing I learned was that my mother had been engaged to be married to a man other than my father, or just before World War II. And she had the experience that many women of her generation had. Her fiancé went overseas and never came home.
Oh, dear.
And so my mother's life changed quite significantly. She ended up marrying my father quite late for women, again, of that generation. And I, obviously, this was quite a revelation for me. And I used that as the foundation for the show I was writing about her. Interestingly enough, when I finally showed her the script, asked her to read the script after I had written a first draft, it was clear she didn't necessarily like it very much. and I wasn't quite sure what that was about, but eventually we worked a little bit more on it, and we were literally able to perform this show for her on her 90th birthday at the church that she and my father had helped to found in Mississauga, surrounded by her family and her friends. And that was an amazing day. And then the show went on. We produced it at Smile. And one of my concerns was, as it often is when you write biographical material, would this particular story, which was based very specifically on certain events in my mother's life, would it resonate with larger audiences? Mm-hmm. And what I had tried to do in the show was to point out that you don't have to have won an Olympic gold medal or a Nobel Peace Prize to have lived an extraordinary life, to have made a difference in the world. And I was hoping that that would make my mother feel better about herself. And I was obviously hoping that it would resonate with the audiences that we were serving. And at the end of the very first performance of the show that we did, as I watched it nervously from the back, a woman came up to me after the show and took my hand. She had tears running down her cheeks, but the biggest smile on her face. And she said, "Thank you. You made me feel extraordinary." And I thought, okay, I guess this worked, which is, I find as a writer, is really fascinating when you write something that is so specific that the specificity can end up being universal.
Isn't that wonderful? Oh, I love that story. I love that it changes every time you do the piece. And when I interviewed the wonderful Charlotte, who's been on this show before as well, and her daughter, Emily, Charlotte explained that you've been friends for 50 years. That's half a century.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they both remarked, Charlotte and Emily, on how you made this production deeply personal for them as mother and daughter, including photographs of them as mother and daughter in the set, and all sorts of things that really made it deeply personal for them and meaningful. And it feels like it was a very different kind of production than what you've done in the past. How would you say this production differed, and how did involving Charlotte and Emily sort of bring it to a whole nother level, if you will?
Well, I believe you've also interviewed Loretta Bailey, who was... Yeah. Who played older Bertha in the previous production. And she did a beautiful job. Mm-hmm. I think anytime you go into a new production of a piece, what you're hoping to do is work with the specific strengths of the actors who are involved in this show. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when we came up with the concept of casting a mother and a daughter, especially Charlotte, who I've known for so many years, and Emily, who I have just come to know as a performer recently, I knew what their strengths were. And Charlotte has grown so much as a performer through the years. She was originally known for this gigantic, beautiful, resonant voice that she had and all sorts of energy that she brought to the stage. But through the years, she has developed a real talent for connecting with an audience and doing things in a very truthful way. And as a writer of the show, obviously, I knew that my material was going to be delivered truthfully and beautifully. I mean, both Charlotte and Emily have gorgeous voices. Emily, in particular, so different than Charlotte in the fact that she has this glorious big soprano voice that is quite thrilling. And Charlotte, we used to call her a tenor, not an alto. So her voice is very different than Emily's, although because the show is about an older and a younger version of the same person,
yes,
the fact that Emily and Charlotte often look exactly the same and speak exactly the same,
yeah,
that obviously brought an increased resonance to the piece. All of the performers we have used through the years with Extraordinary have done a beautiful job. And Loretta was gorgeous in the part. Loretta wasn't able to do it this time. And we were just fortunate that Charlotte made the choice. She made the choice to do this, not just because she wanted to work with her daughter, Emily, but because she felt it was time in her career that she gave back. And doing a smile tour is among the hardest thing any actor can do. It's a very, very challenging job. It's rewarding in ways that no other theater experience is rewarding, but it is hard work.
Yes.
And particularly hard for older performers because there's a physical aspect to it that you don't normally get in a Mirvish production.
Right. You're not schlepping the sets and you're not schlepping all the lights and then getting there an hour beforehand to set everything up.
It's a challenging job, but rewarding in ways that a traditional theater performance is not rewarding. Obviously, that's rewarding in its own way, but this is on a completely different level. And the fact that these two performers are taking it so seriously and bringing every ounce of their empathy and skill to each performance is a wonder. And we're so grateful to them for doing this.
Thank you for that. I asked them if there were any epiphanies that they could, and I'm sure there is many, but in the nursing homes, retirement homes, hospitals, if there's been a moment that just really stood out or moments. And I'm wondering for you, as the creator of this piece, the writer, the director, the composer, has there been one in this production? Has there been a moment that stands out for you in this current incarnation that you just go, wow, I can't believe how this has taken on a life of its own?
Well, I obviously had been watching it through rehearsals. And traditionally, once the show hits the road, I don't see it for a while. But at the performance Kate and I saw last week, it was clear that their performances had grown significantly in the couple of weeks since I had seen it. And we try to engage the audience on a one-to-one basis during the show. And that's, again, something that Charlotte needs to take on herself. And that in itself is a very scary thing to try and do. But it was clear that the audience that day was totally with them. And because that is not always the case in seniors' homes, that it can be a challenge for the audience to follow a specific storyline. And of course, many of our audiences are in wheelchairs and their movement is restricted. But at the end of this particular performance, they got a standing ovation, which is remarkable in so many ways. I mean, in the theater now, it's almost expected that the audience will stand up, but not in seniors' homes. And so that was a particularly moving moment. And the women who took part in that made a point of staying afterward to talk to both Emily and Charlotte and me. Other people came up to express their gratitude. And there's something about that happening in a smile show that feels different.
Yes.
Than a traditional theater experience. I mean, people will congratulate you and then off they go to have a glass of wine. But these folks are experiencing it as a part of their lives.
Of course. And you're giving them back something. They were probably theater goers before they ever got into the nursing home. And so you're giving them a valuable part of their lives that they've lost, and they get to have that. And that's just so incredible. We're going to go on a short commercial break. And when we come back, we'll hear more from Jim Betts about his musical Extraordinary and all about the Smile Theater. We'll be right back in a moment.
Finding Your Bliss is brought to you by CREATE, Canada's leading fertility center for over 25 years.
CREATE is here for anyone struggling with infertility or in need of assisted reproductive technology to have children. CREATE is about cutting-edge science from highly skilled doctors. In unprecedented times like these, CREATE is about ensuring the safety of all patients and staff. CREATE has made important changes to protect you by ensuring social distancing, wearing masks, as well as screening before entering. So what about the bundle of joy that you've been hoping would come into your family? CREATE Fertility Center is here for you. Visit createivf.com to keep up with the latest changes and learn about CREATE Fertility Center's comprehensive care for every fertility journey. Keep safe and healthy during these challenging days, remembering that life is about moments that we create together.
Hi, everyone. We are back, and this is Finding Your Bliss on Zoomer Radio, AM 740. And I'm back now with Jim Betts, the creator, writer, and director of the musical Extraordinary, currently being produced and toured by Smile Theater. Can I ask you just to tell us briefly about Smile Theater and its mission for those who don't know, because we keep referring to Smile Theater, which, of course, you've been involved in for years. What is it? What's the mission of Smile Theater?
Smile has been around as long as I've been around. So it's over 50 years now, taking theater to audiences who can no longer get out to the theater. And we go to hospitals, we go to seniors' homes, seniors' residences, and long-term care centers, trying to bring theatrical experiences to people, just as you just mentioned, who may have been theater goers in their youth, but can no longer do it. And Tom Kneebone, who you probably know, he became synonymous with Smile Theater. He ran Smile Theater for must have been 20 years or more and did wonderful shows. In those days, we scare our actors by telling them, you should be grateful you're not doing a Tom Kneebone show, because he used to send them out with a full set and power tools to put the sets together. We don't make them do that anymore. But we are trying to find ways for audiences to reflect back on their own lives, to find joy in their current situations. And many of them are very unhappy in their living situation. So we try to bring some joy into it. In the last few years, Tom Carson, who is the artistic director, general manager of Smile now, he's come up with a new program called the Smile Serenaders, which is having young people, three or four of them at a time, musicians, singers, who go individually into people's rooms to sing and relate to them. And they'll go on an ongoing basis. The CAMH is one of their specific places. And they will visit somebody 1 week and say, what's your favorite song? And they'll tell them what their favorite song is. And the next week, the Serenaders will come back and sing them that song. And so we are trying to make the lives of the Smile audiences as rich and as significant as we can. And that can be a challenge. It goes so far. I remember there's a rehab center we go to on Dunn Avenue here in Toronto, where the clients, the patients there are in very desperate circumstances. Mm-hmm. And we've had our performers performing to people who are literally in comas. And you sort of ask yourself, what is the point of doing this? And the nurses there are saying, we have no idea whether they can hear or understand or respond. Mm-hmm. But if they do, we want to bring this experience to them.
Of course.
And believe me, for performers like Charlotte and Emily to be in that situation is extraordinarily challenging. And performing to people with dementia who are speaking out, they literally have people who walk through the set during the show in their walkers because they don't understand. And you try and reach them as well. I think it's one of the most important theater companies in Canada that no one has ever heard of. And quite apart from what it does for the audiences, as someone who is very interested in Canadian musical theater and in the writing of new Canadian musical theater, no theater company in Canada has commissioned and produced more original Canadian musicals than Smile Theater.
That's so incredible. And I will say this also, just in terms of this program, in our pursuit and my pursuit of helping people find and follow and connect with their bliss or refind it if they've lost it, there's no question that when you're giving back, when you're in service, I always think of Mother Teresa, utilizing your own unique gifts and talents and capabilities to make the world a better place. And in a sense, I feel that's what you're doing at Smile. And so what a gift, not only for the recipients, but for the actors, for the artists themselves.
Yes. Again, one of the hardest things they'll ever do and one of the most satisfying things they'll ever do. Again, referencing my own mother, and I'm sure this is the case with many other people of her generation. In her last few years, it seemed to me that she was actively trying to be as unhappy as possible.
Heard that, yeah.
And it struck me that one of our jobs in Smile Theater was to encourage people to start finding things in their own lives that can make them happy, that can enrich their lives, that make them realize that their lives are not over. Mm-hmm. And certainly we try to do that in extraordinary.
So you're like a bliss maker. I love that.
I'm hoping that what Smile does is bring bliss to the audiences that we serve.
I think that's what it's doing. I also loved hearing that throughout the musical, there's lots of recognition of Toronto landmarks and things that Torontonians know about, like at Meals on Wheels, Mississauga. And the audience was just loving that, lapping it up, eating it up, excuse the pun. How rewarding is it for you to hear that kind of feedback?
Well, yes, that's very important. And certainly the show that Smile produced before Extraordinary was all about the importance of individual songs in people's lives. Mm-hmm. And that remembering that music, of course, and songs in particular, bring back a whole specific part of one's life that you may have felt you left behind. Yeah. So, yes, the recognition factor is important. And in fact, one of my favorite stories about Extraordinary is that we played the show once when Loretta was involved at a seniors' home in Kingston, where my mother was. And she would have been about 96 at this point. And she lived there with her sister, who was 101.
No way. You have good genes.
And yes, unfortunately, I think I have those genes. So I'm going to be around writing shows for many more years.
But at any rate,
my aunt, being 101, she didn't always know what was going on around her. And we had no idea whether she was going to be able to follow the story. But there she was, she and my mother in the front row watching the show. And there's a moment in the show where my mother relates the fact that she got a telegram telling her that her fiancé had died in the war.
Oh, dear.
And there's one or two references to this telegram. Mm. And at the end of the show, the cast came out to chat, and my aunt grabbed Loretta's hand and said, "I was the one who gave Bertha that telegram."
Oh, my goodness.
And the fact that my aunt could follow the story and understood that she was a part of this story felt like another gift. And it won't always be that specific, because there's only one person in the world who gave my mother that telegram. But other people have had that same
experience. Of course.
And this is what they tell you in the theater all the time. If you want something to be universal, make it specific.
Make it so specific. It lands in such a deep place because it's so deeply authentic.
Yes.
It's just brilliant. I also loved reading about dance or musical in 10 furlongs with book and lyrics by you and music by award-winning composer Merrick Norman, which won the Adams Prize for New Musical, earned you a spot in the 2023 Toronto Fringe. As we mentioned earlier, it received 9 Broadway World Toronto Award nominations and won the award for Best Choreography Musical. I loved hearing about this because I've also had a very long-standing relationship with Barbara Barsky, who's been on the show, and with Merrick Norman, who I used to interview when I hosted a show called In the Spotlight, all about great Canadians in musical theater, and they were guests on the show many times. And I know you've enjoyed a long association as creative partners and collaborators, including your award-winning piece, Dancer. Can you tell us briefly about Dancer and its plans for a return to Toronto production in 2026.
Well, thank you. Dancer has turned out to be one of the most overwhelming experiences in my career, and I'm sure Merrick would tell you the same thing. This has turned out to be a show that people won't let go.
Yeah.
The plan is to bring the show back to Toronto in 2026.
Yeah.
And partly because the audiences are demanding that we bring it back. And in my 50 years of writing musicals, rarely have I had people come up to me after a show saying, "Where do I write the check to become an investor in this show?"
No kidding.
We need a few more of those people. But the passion that our audiences have been displaying for this has been extraordinary. My sense is that people are going to get behind Dancer, so that your audiences get a sense of it. It is unique in the history of musical theater. It has a lead character who never speaks or sings. This is based on the story of Northern Dancer, who became the first Canadian bred horse to win the Kentucky Derby back in 1964. And the theatrical conceit we've come up with is that Northern Dancer and all the other horses in the show are played by dancers. And we have Stacey Tookie, who was one of Canada's best choreographers and most interesting choreographers, has created a visual world for these dancers, horses, that is really quite remarkable. We do have actors and singers in the show because it is a musical, but they sing what the horses are going through. They are the voices of our horses, so that we have a main character who only expresses himself through movement and dance. And as far as I know, in the history of musical theater anywhere, there's only one other show that works that way. And it's also a Canadian musical based on Johnny Belinda, where Johnny Belinda is a deaf mute, so she never speaks or sings and expresses herself only through dance. So we are carrying on that. Maver Moore,
my old teacher at York University.
Yes. Well, we just brought it full circle because Maver, of course, is Charlotte's father and Emily's
Dora, grandmother. Of course, her grandmother. And I know, yeah. It's crazy.
So we can thank Mabry Moore as well for Dancer. But when we get closer to having Dancer back on the Canadian stage, that, but we're very excited.
That is so good. Well, it's so fascinating. Back to Extraordinary. There is a final performance in one of the nursing homes on October 25th. Are there any other plans for this piece in the future?
The show is available to be done by other companies. In fact, there's a company in Prince Edward Island that did their own production of it a few years mm-hmm. ago. Tell all your friends yeah. and anybody who runs their own theater, they're more than welcome to schedule a production of it. If it's only ever done for smile audiences, I will be perfectly happy because those are the people I wrote it for.
Of course.
And if it can continue to bring bliss to those audiences, I will be happy that what I've done has made a difference.
You have made a difference for so many people, Jim Betts. You're terrific. There's a question we ask everyone at the end of the show. Of course, I'm going to ask it to you now. What is bliss for Jim Betts?
Well, I have many reasons to be blissful. Kate and I, having made our decision to buy this RV and spend so much of our time traveling around North America, that has been a wonderful new part of our lives. Getting to see new things, getting to meet new people, getting to experience the wonder that is Canada. The fact that I'm still able to write and produce and direct and work in the musical theater, I consider myself extremely fortunate. Many of my best friends who I met through this world are gone already far too soon. And so those of us who are still here and still able to do it, we tell ourselves how lucky we are.
Of course.
The fact that I'm in a great relationship, how lucky am I? So I've got two great children, a great wife, great friends. I'm a happy, blissful guy.
Love that. I love hearing that. That's so wonderful. And you're making the world a better place by bringing people so much happiness and joy and sunshine with the beautiful works that you create. And I hope you keep going for a long time to 105, 110. And what is the best way, Jim, for people to contact you and connect with you on social media and keep in touch with you in your career?
Well, I have a website, jimbetts, B-E-T-T-S, .ca. People can follow me there. And I think there's a contact information on that. We also have dancerthemusical.ca so that people can follow along for the Dancer adventures.
I think it has, and I think it will continue doing so for a long time to come. It's been a real honor to have you on the show today, Jim. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Judy.
Each week we spotlight fabulous people like Jim Betts, Charlotte Moore, and Emily Mazurkiewicz, who are living their bliss. So if you are an author, artist, actor, yoga, meditation, or mindfulness expert, or really anyone who has found and is following their bliss, we would love to hear from you. And of course, you can always follow us at The Bliss Minute on Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook. I'd like to thank our wonderful guests, Charlotte Moore, Emily Mazurkiewicz, and Jim Betts for being on the show today. Also, thank you to Mag Ruffman, Siobhan Kiley, producer Chelsea Lockstedt, Eva Shabbatai, Olivia Vigiani, audio engineer Juliana Yanisiello, senior editor Lauren Kaminsky, video editor Sierra Brown Rodriguez, audio producer Faz Kazi, and everyone here at Zoomer. And of course, a big thank you to our sponsor, the Create Fertility Center, and also to our segment sponsor, Ashford Cleaners, as well. The flowers that grace our studio every week here on Riverside are courtesy of Garrett Flores. Thank you for the beautiful roses. For everyone here, I'm Judy Liebrach, reminding you all to take one step closer to finding your bliss.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.